All right, brothers, it's good to be with y'all. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. It is good for us. It replenishes our souls. Lord, I pray for my brothers in this room, the men, the fathers, the sons, the grandpappies, the workers, the hard workers, sons, everything, Lord, that you've called us to be. I pray that you would just help us this evening as we come to your word, as we come to just some things that you've said, Lord, about loving you. I pray you would just meet us in a really sweet, intentional way this evening as men, and you'd help us to draw ourselves closer to you. And we ask that in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, brothers, welcome. We are here, the Rock Men. If you remember last time, Pastor Josh kicked it off. Over the next four meetings, I believe, together as men, we're going to be going through really just one sentence, one verse that Jesus mentions in the Bible. It's quoted in the Old Testament as well in Deuteronomy. But it's a really powerful statement that Jesus says in Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. That's a lot of things to love God with. And it can get kind of confusing. If you remember last time, Pastor Josh talked about loving God with all of our heart. Does anybody remember how many times Josh mentioned the heart is mentioned in the Old and New Testament? I forgot too, so you're probably close. That's great. But I can't remember. Josh, where are you at, dude? Does he know? Does he remember? Oh, it was a lot. Clearly, we know, because we'll take somebody's, Josh's word for it. The heart is a pretty important topic when we go to the Bible. Amen. Today we're talking about the soul. The soul is mentioned quite a bit more. Do you guys know how many times the soul is mentioned in the ESV translation of the Bible? 263, so we're getting close. So this got to be pretty important too. But what exactly is the soul? It's kind of an interesting question because the Bible doesn't totally explain it. The meaning of the word soul varies a bit. Not just in our everyday language, how we use and interpret the word, but even in sacred scripture when you're coming to the Hebrew and the Greek. In the Greek, soul is the word psuche. It can mean breath or spirit or essentially the stuff that comes out of you. That's kind of who you are. In the Hebrew, though, it goes a bit deeper. Your soul represents all of who you are as an individual, your entire self, not just the things that you say and do, but all of the things that make you up as a person, your body, your heart, your emotions, your passions, your desires, your will, your personal preferences. These are all representatives of who we are to our very core or our soul. I'm sure many of you have heard it before. The quote that says, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. Furthermore, the Bible teaches us that our soul has been created and designed by God. In Genesis, we're told that God physically creates man out of dust, and then he breathes life into man. So when God creates us, he doesn't just make us body, he makes us body and soul. In Job chapter 12 or 21, we are told that God owns our soul. He's in charge. Jesus says in Matthew 10, he says, you should not worry about the people who can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. You should be more concerned about the one who can kill your soul. So what he's telling us is we should fear the one who can destroy both body and soul. So your soul is something that only God can give, only God has created, and only God can take away. In Colossians 2 and Ephesians 2, it teaches us that before Christ came into our lives and radically changed us and gave us a new life or spiritual rebirth, we were alive physically but dead spiritually. In Ecclesiastes 12, we are told that when we die, our soul will return to the one who created us. This means your soul is a part of you, the part of you that will last for all of eternity. Furthermore, the Bible tells us lots of things about our soul. A lot of our thoughts, a lot of our emotions are tied into our soul. When you read through the Psalms, you'll see things like, my soul is downcast. I poured out my soul. My soul is troubled. The desires of my soul is delighted. My soul thirsts. My soul rejoices. Our soul experiences everything. It feels everything. It responds to everything. It's living. Because most basically, soul means all of you. Your soul is a pretty important part of who you are. So I guess today that's what I will ask us is, are we taking good care of ourselves or our soul? If we are to love God with our soul, then we should take care of our soul. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, after God's people have been in the wilderness for an endless amount of time and grumbling and complaining, and Moses is about to lead them into their promised land, and he says this to them. He says, he wants to remind them. He says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But notice that, keep your soul diligently. I assume we all know what a housekeeper is, right? Like a housekeeper, if you can afford it, right on, that's cool. You have somebody roll into your house and they do all your chores for you. They fold the laundry, they keep everything tidy, the maintenance, all that sort of stuff. A housekeeper, or then we know like a zookeeper, we know their responsibilities, or there's like bookkeepers, groundskeepers. They all have this responsibility to take care of something that's been entrusted to them, right? You know what Deuteronomy 4 just told us? You are a soul keeper. Do you ever think of that? Like, that, do you think, have you ever had that thought that my soul is something that I need to take care of or that I need to protect? The Bible seems to think so. When we look at verses like 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul." Peter says that there's things that are at war with not just our body and our minds and our hearts, but our very soul. And we should abstain from them, right? That means to avoid, to renounce, or to protect, to shield, to cover ourselves from those intrusions that are attacking our soul. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, "For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" Forfeit means to hand over or to give up. 4th and 20, you punt. To give up on your soul. To be stripped of it. And the Lord warns us that we can become so busy and distracted and absorbed in all the things of this world that man can actually forfeit their primary care provider of our own souls in the process. That's a sobering thought. If we are to love God with all of our soul, then that begs that question, am I taking good care of my soul? We take care of the things that we think are important, don't we? Our spouses, our marriages, right? We protect our marriage. There's things that we will not allow into our marriage, things that we will not entertain. We will pursue and we will love and we will honor our spouse. We will keep our marriage top priority. We love our children, so we protect them. There are things that we will not allow into our home, things that our children may not have access to, things that influences that we will protect and protect our children from, things that they can say and cannot say, things that they can watch and they cannot watch, right? We take care, we protect those things. Or your guitar. You don't let your kids' filthy paws touch your guitar, or your Xbox, or your Mustang sits in the best spot in the garage, or your house has locks and deadbolts and Ring doorbells and security cameras, because we want to protect the things that really matter to us. So what about your soul? Do you protect your soul? If you knew that there was an enemy outside your home that wants to harm your family, your children, your Xbox, you're going to take every precautionary step to protect those things, aren't you? That's wisdom. That's wise. But now, do we have the same kind of barricades up to fortify and protect our soul from all the things that want to come and wreak havoc on it? Sin, temptation, the devil, spiritual warfare. Of course, all of these things, right? Like these are enemies to our soul, and we're called to love God with our soul. So I hope all of us are making war against all of those things and we're protecting in that realm. And I could have gone down any one of those directions with our time today, but I really feel like the Lord was speaking to me here, something a bit more silent. Am I protecting my soul from busyness? Have you ever considered busyness as something that might actually be an enemy to your soul? How many of you would say right now, man, I feel like I'm just pretty busy? How many of you guys heard that today? Hey, man, how are you? Oh, you know, I'm just been really busy. Like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. How was the New Year? How's everything? Oh, it's been great, man. It's just been really busy. Hey, we should hang out. We should grab a burrito sometime. Oh, I would really love to. Things are just really busy right now. We all say it. And most of us are busy doing really great things. But man, if we don't watch out, busyness with all of these great things can actually really take a toll on our soul. And it is good for us as men to have responsibilities and kicking some butt in with our family and our job and our work and all of these things done for the glory of God. And many of us are just wired to be hard workers. Amen. Overachievers. We'll go until there's nothing left in the tank and we'll just keep going. And we want to be known and we want to be seen as hard workers, men who are going above and beyond. Those are great. But we also know that there can be a negative impact, right? That busyness can influence the relationships we have, right? I'm sure we've all fallen victim to that before, overworking, bringing job home with you, extended work, blah, blah, blah. And it has an effect on who? Your family, your kids, your relationships, church. Busyness can be a real enemy to our very soul. So I ask you to consider that with me today. Is busyness having a negative impact on me, my soul? God's word makes it very clear that you and I have limitations. We need to rest. We're commanded, we're reminded, we're warned about how essential rest is, not just for our physical bodies, not just for our minds, but for our soul. We know that God created in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Was it because God was tired? No, God doesn't get tired. But it's just a standard. It's a model for us. He's like, hey, you need rest. Not, this is not for my sake. This is for y'all's sake. Your body needs to rest. And it literally attests to this reality. You guys get tired and you cannot wait to get home and go to bed. Amen? Right? Sleep is a daily reminder from God that you're not God. You know what God's never done? God's never gone, we're just kind of blazing past nap time, aren't we? God's never yawned. I've seen 12 of y'all yawn, and I've only been up here for 12 minutes. The Lord knows our limits, and he implements this command that we need rest, not just for our body's sake, but for our souls. And he institutes this, really, this is the Sabbath, this rest, how important it is for us. But I believe this goes beyond the physical too, right? We sang this weekend. We sang it today. Thank you, Skylar, brother, for leading us, and Tom and Brady. And Psalm 23, we know this verse. We love this verse. It's such a calming and reassuring verse for us. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's a beautiful chunk of verses. What stands out most to you? Usually it's really like, God is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. Man, I sure want, but I'm going to be content, right? What stands out to me, what convicts me to my bone, is he makes me lie down. It puts this illustration in my head. Maybe you all thought about this before, but like, you know, like a really rowdy dog, and you're like, you tell it to sit, and it doesn't sit, and you're like, sit, and it starts circling, and like, sit, it jumps, speaks, it does all the other 12 things you've taught it to do for treaty treats, but then you have to go sit, and you like literally have to like force that dog's butt down and hold it down, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? I feel like that's me all the time with the Lord. Like, he literally has to make me rest. How many of you are like that? That we can go like, yeah, I know rest is good. And yeah, the green pastures look tasty. Yeah, and the still waters looks really refreshing. But man, I've just got so much stuff on my plate, I just ain't got time. My prayer for us is that the Lord would show up and teach every one of us, or maybe force us to sit down for our soul's sake. We're commanded to rest by the God who created us. who knows our limitations. And he promises us in verse 3, there's this promise of restoration for our souls, that he's going to restore my soul. God's going to do something that sex and money and fame and naps and video games and chili verde can't do. God's going to restore my soul. That's beautiful. Let me ask you, do you regularly slow down to rest? Like daily, throughout the day, do you have moments where you're just going to allow yourself to be free, free yourself up for something, just to return to your great shepherd, to reunite your soul and find refreshment that's only found in him? Or does like the idea of taking a break just seem impossible to you? Or like the idea of taking a day off would make you anxious. Like, what would I do with a whole day off? I've got so much to do. Everything depends on me. It doesn't. But if you feel like that, man, I can't take a day off. I've got so much stuff to do. Brother, your soul's getting destroyed. If you and I are not finding time to rest in the Lord for our soul's sake, then chances are, because we're just idol factories, right? I think John Calvin says that our hearts will just keep refabricating just different things for us to fall down and worship, and busyness become a form of idolatry in our whole life. But we will find things and we will just keep going and working and searching for more things that might fulfill us and refresh us and replenish us. And you'll continue to push further and further with work and job and career and whatever it is. And you will go and go and go until you eventually burn out, have a physical breakdown, mental breakdown. Men, fathers, sons, brothers, listen to me. Your biggest need, your soul's biggest need, is not your wife, your children, your career. It's not money. It's not sex. It's not hobbies and crafts and skiing and hiking and Disneyland. Our biggest need is God. And he's spoken, and he has told us, you need to rest. It's a command, not a suggestion. When Jesus tells us in Matthew 22 to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind, really he's just saying everything that is you needs to find its pleasure and joy and refreshment in God. He's pleading with us to not forget that that has to be most important, our closeness to him. So brothers, when it comes to loving God with your soul, again, I could have gone down a whole bunch of avenues of how you do that practically. But I think the Lord really is speaking to me here, convicting me here, sharing this with you guys. I feel as like the Lord's really spoke to me this week. We need to learn how to rest for our soul's sake. How do you fan the flame of the love for God in your soul? The answer to that can be endless, right? What that looks like, it could be reading the Bible or listening to the Bible or studying the Bible or prayer or fellowship or worship or singing or meals or having people over, naps, right? Lots of different ways. And we'll break down, that's what we're going to discuss together with the rest of our time. But do you find yourself just really busy lately? Just always busy. Consider the kind of wear and tear, the toll that is having on your spiritual health. What impact does your life's responsibilities and your tasks and your schedules, what kind of impact is it having on your soul, in your quest, in the love for God? Many of us suffer from the sickness of busyness, if we're honest. We just rush through our days trying to get so many things done, and we may be neglecting our soul and pushing Jesus further away in the process. And the cure to the sickness of busyness is just rest. So how do we practically love God with all of our soul? I really, really believe, brothers, that it begins when we come to him to find rest. And that's what we're going to discuss together with the remainder of our time. So let me pray. Again, Lord, we love you. Again, we thank you that your word is truth. It is good for us. Thank you, Jesus, that your word restores our soul. God, our closeness to you restores our soul. And I pray for the men in this room as we get together to discuss that, God, you'd really just open up a spirit of vulnerability as brothers to talk and communicate with one another about what this may look like practically in our life. We need your help to do that, Jesus. And we say that in your name. Amen.